And welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre, and this show is for the week of May 16th, 2021. So it turns out there's been a lot of interesting news with regard to the Peabody Peaker plant. For those of you who may not be familiar with the details, a peaker plant is a plant that turns on once in a while to supply electricity when it's in high demand, usually in the summer. There is a proposal from an organization called MWEC, the Massachusetts Municipal Wholesale Electric Corporation, that wants to build a natural gas plant in the town of Peabody near communities that shouldn't have to suffer that burden. MCAN, the organization, has been in the forefront of questioning that plant, and lots of stuff has happened. So we are pleased as punch to have with us the executive director of MCAN, Ms. Sarah Dooling. How are you doing, Sarah?
Good morning, Ted. I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Good, good, good. So tell me, it's been a topsy-turvy week. Lots of things have happened with this Peabody Peaker plant. Tell me, what's the news?
Sure. And I think for everybody who's listening to the podcast, it may be helpful to sort of do a full timeline and end on sort of the big surprise development of last week. So what has happened so far? And for folks listening to the podcast, this is a peaker plant that's proposed to be starting construction basically this year. And MWEC has had petitioned the Department of Public Utilities for approving the issuing of two revenue bonds for financing this peaker plant for $85 million for the first bond for construction, and then a second bond to refinance the first one and to maintain the plant. So that on March 3rd, that was when MWEC submitted their petition to DPU for getting approval for the financing. About a month later, on April 7, after MCAN learned about this project from a Wakefield town councilor, we petitioned the DPU to be given legal status, intervener status is the technical term, to challenge this project basically in DPU court. Because why are we building and investing in dirty peakers? This is old school. The future is now for a very different kind of peaker plant that is clean. And unsurprisingly, DPU said, sorry, MCAN, you're not going to get that opportunity, but we'll give you this other status, this limited participant status, which allowed us to sit in on the evidentiary hearing and to have the opportunity to submit a brief and to respond to MWEC's brief.
I mean, this is all part of this. I wouldn't say a quasi-legal process, but it's a very strict process about bringing evidence to the Department of Public Utilities in order to make these decisions. And MCAN is involved, not as fully as it wants to be, but is involved.
Yes, it's more involved than individual ratepayers. It's not as fully involved as with complete legal capacities as MWEC is involved. So we're in this in-between space that is better than nothing. So DPU said, sorry, MCAN, you're not going to have intervener status. That was in the middle of April, April 15th. And then the big day on April 26th, this was the DPU hearing. And it had two parts to it. It had the public comment part, and then it had this evidentiary hearing part. And MCAN, we worked with Community Action Works on getting folks from Peabody to come and speak. And then MCAN worked a lot with all of our MLP advocates, our municipal light plant advocates, as well as new folks to MCAN, doctors and physicians, in addition to our core group, which included some people on light boards that had signed this contract. And so just to step this back a minute, What the DPU was really interested in evaluating is whether or not the financing of this dirty peaker serves the public interest. Okay, so how can how can this peaker plant maintain grid reliability? How can the lights be kept on? And so the purpose of the April 26th hearing was to hear from the public, and we mobilized 25 people that gave spoken and submitted written comments.
Wow.
And this contract, I want to emphasize over and over, had been flying under the radar for 6 years. Nobody had really heard about it, not the ratepayers in the muni districts that had signed the contract. MCAN hadn't heard about it.
This contract being an agreement between the municipal light plants in different towns and MWEC to go ahead with this construction of this plant, right? This peaker plant. And it had all come to a head in saying, oh, with MWEC, this organization asking the DPU for permission to borrow money, right? Real hard. And, you know, can we borrow 170 million bucks? Okay.
Mm-hmm. And 14 muni districts had originally signed the contract. Prior to the April 26th hearing, two of those muni districts, Chicopee and Holyoke, have requested to basically sell their share of the contract. And that is very important to note because it seems as if there is no unified agreement about the benefits of the contract and the benefits of a dirty peaker. In this larger context of the climate law that will be that comes into play in June, in the context of changes that the climate law has for actually regulating municipal light plants for the first time ever to reach net zero emissions by 2050. So right. There are
just to reemphasize that the famous roadmap bill that I've been chipping my teeth for the last 4 months about, what a great thing it is. That now comes into play, right? And that is sort of the elephant in the room when you talk about a new natural gas peaker plant. Is it consistent with all of these wonderful goals that are in the new climate bill, right? And there you go.
Mm-hmm. And it is not. So on April 26th, 25 advocates spoke about these larger issues, spoke about their concerns, spoke about the fact that there are two environmental justice communities within a half mile of the proposed site for the peaker. So there are all these broader challenges that really make investing in this project not in the public interest. And that was all in the first part of the public comment hearing. Then that public comment hearing ended, and immediately the hearing transitioned to the evidentiary hearing. And that is the point at which MWIC's counsel and the DPU's counsel asked questions. So the DPU commissioners on that day, John Pinto and Paul Osborne, did not ask any questions related to the concerns raised by the advocates during the public comment hearing. And in fact, the DPU commissioners were really much more focused on how do MLPs who have signed the contract, how do they sell their shares of the contract? And it was at that point that MCAN learned that if 50% of the 60 megawatts, if 50% of those megawatts are suddenly up for transferring, then MWIC has to go back to its board and reconceive of the project, reconceive of the contract. Mm-hmm. So at that point,
So this is a Zoom meeting on the morning of April 26th. The first half of the Zoom meeting is sort of public people giving, and I watched much of it, inspiring comments on why this should not be built. Then I think that closed that part of the Zoom meeting, all the public people got booted out. You got to stay in the meeting because you're a limited intervener. And then there's a second session where there's more dialogue and more nitty gritty. What are the DPU people really concerned about? Asking pointed questions of, and as you're saying, it's all coming back to the finance of the 170 million bucks or something, right? And right. You discovered this little interesting fact as you were listening, right?
Correct. And so I think it may be useful for folks listening to the podcast. You know, DPU's scope of inquiry was very, very narrow, right? This was a petition to approve financing, and they didn't exercise any additional areas of interest.
And of course, those areas of interest have been pointed out in the public session were the health risk of the people who live near the plant, all of the negative things that we don't even have time to go into about why you would not want to build a peaker plant for health reasons, et cetera. Right. Those were put aside and the focus was on the finance.
Correct. So that evidentiary hearing towards its conclusion, everybody in the Zoom room was said, look, there's a briefing schedule. Y'all have 2 weeks to submit a brief, which is not a lot of time. And so at that point on April 26th, we were told, you know, you have until May 13th, MCAN and MWIC to submit your briefs. And then each organization would have until May 20 to reply to the other's brief. So we all hopped off that call, and it struck me sitting in that evidentiary hearing that DPU is very interested in approving this contract. And so the fight was on, you know, and time, you know, a lot of time crunch to get that brief written in coordination with our council. So speed up to May 11, just last week, and holy cow, I receive an email from the very person who brought us this issue, the Wakefield Town Councilor, and it was a press release by MWIC saying that the MWIC board has voted to pause this project for a minimum of 30 days, and that they are very interested in hearing from stakeholders about clean energy alternatives to the project. Okay, you could have knocked me off my chair.
Wow. So let me restate there. You're saying that out of the blue, the MWEC, the Massachusetts Wholesale Electric Company that wants to build a thing, all of a sudden they just say, oh, by the way, we need to take a break, right? We need 30 days to go think about it. And what we want to think about is whether or not there's other renewable energy options for us, right? And that was, yes, came as a complete surprise to you.
It did, even though MCAN, we had been meeting with the Attorney General's office. We had been meeting with legislators, Representative Sally Cairns from West Peabody and Danvers, really committed to seeking alternatives, clean energy alternatives to the natural gas and oil design. And so in some ways, this was a total surprise. And in pausing the project and pausing the process, MWIC had to submit a petition to DPU because, again, we're still in this DPU process, making this request of DPU. And the hearing officer that has been overseeing the DPU process for this project, Special Project 2015A, wrote back and said, basically, it's up to MWIC to inform DPU about whether or not when they would like to continue the DPU process. A new briefing date has been established, June 15th, for both MWIC and MCAN to submit briefs. However, if that date comes and goes, there is the potential for the project within the DPU process to peter out. However, there is also the option that MWIC can exercise, which is to contact DPU and say, hey, we're back. we want to move on with this process. We want to move on with the approvals process for this financing contract. So in many ways, this, the pausing of the project is a great victory. It gives advocates time. It gives MWIC time to really think carefully about how a clean energy peaker plant can actually serve the Commonwealth more clearly, more strongly around climate goals and health impacts. So
can I just say, just to be, just to clarify, we talk about, so you're right, it's astounding that this juggernaut that's been rolling along for 6 years all of a sudden is paused. We've made reference a couple of times to a sort of a clean solution. And in the simplest possible words, which on the one hand, you're thinking of building a natural gas turbine to generate electricity with all the attendant emissions and whatnot. The other sort of conceptual idea, which is not like definitive, but the other way you could think about it is to say, I'm going to put a big honking battery in there, which is clean, right? It's essentially going to take what amounts to a million laptop batteries, put them all in one box and have that be standing by ready to provide power when it's needed. The obvious point being that it's much cleaner, right? And a much, and an advanced technology. So that's the trade. That's sort of the kind of thing that all of a sudden MWEC is saying, well, is a battery better than a natural gas plant, right? And that they're waiting, they've got 30 days or potentially more to sort of think about that. Right? Mm-hmm. So everything is just like stopped in its tracks, so to speak.
Well, on the one hand, the DPU process has stopped, has been suspended. On the other hand, MWIC in its press release said it really wants to engage stakeholders. That process has not started. And that's the process that we need to get on with. And so on May 12th, one day after MWIC had sent out its press release, they called an emergency, MWIC called an emergency board meeting, which is it's open to the public because this isn't a public association. So MCAN's clean energy director went to that meeting, and we had shared the link with a lot of advocates who had been really involved in fighting the peaker. And wouldn't you know it, MWIC immediately goes into executive session. And what this means is for public entities that need to talk about sensitive information or that need to go over financials that are not public, that they can do that by calling an executive session, which basically resulted in about 20 or 25 advocates on that call being booted off the call. And so the interesting piece, however, is that Secretary Theo Harades was on that call, and she went into executive session with the MWIC board. So my sense is that MWIC is responding to external pressure from the secretary, from perhaps the Attorney General's office, from our advocates, around let's do this differently. Okay, so on the one hand, I think the victory around stopping or pausing the DPU process is very promising. It's very interesting. On the other hand, I really think it's up to MCAN and our advocates and our allies to make sure that MWIC meets with every community that has signed that contract. Every community. So that's a minimum. That's a minimum of 14 meetings, right? Not to, and then to meet with others, other clean energy experts, battery storage experts, right? And so this is the moment to really keep pressure on MWIC. And so for those of you who are in one of the municipal light plant districts that have signed the contract, and I'll read those out in a minute, contact your light board. Say, hey, what's happening with this contract? Can we have a discussion about it? Can we have an agenda item, you know, for a June meeting? because this is sort of a short window of opportunity. And then really making sure that the light board hears you and hears other ratepayers and listens to concerns and listens to alternatives to a natural gas and oil-powered peaker.
I mean, you've made reference to stakeholders, and I guess I want to personalize it to people who may be listening. So there are, you know, that's a term that gets thrown around a lot. There are certain organizations that focus on issues, the related issues. I think there is, it's called Code Blue, I think is one of them that has been involved in, it's a organization of doctors, right? They're submitting testimony. Mm-hmm. Any of the municipal light people can submit, their stakeholders, people meaning both the people in the organization and people who live in the towns. There are elected officials who are considered stakeholders. Mm-hmm. But I mean, everybody who's listening to this podcast at some level could be a stakeholder, right?
You can submit
testimony even if you're, you know, no one has told you you're a stakeholder. You are a stakeholder almost by definition, right? So there's lots of, so the best way I think is to become a stakeholder is if you're in one of these MLP towns. There's 14 in particular, but there's a bigger set of MLP communities, mm-hmm. right? There are other organizations that are advocates for environmental justice and clean energy. If you're part of those, you can basically lobby them to participate, and you can, I'll put a link in the show notes to the, there where you can follow the meetings and submit stuff, I think, right? The docket 2129, again, this is on that, I'm talking to you, so you can follow what's going on and be aware of what the opportunities are. So everyone can be involved. Don't be scared off of the idea that the stakeholder is someone and you get tapped on the shoulder and told you're a stakeholder, right? We're all stakeholders in this.
Right. Right. Exactly. And I do want to emphasize that, you know, anybody in, these, 14 muni districts, is a stakeholder. You know, town council officials are stakeholders, like you were saying, mayors, city managers, other organizations that are volunteer clean clean energy groups. You know, we've been working a lot with Community Action Works. We've been working a lot with 350 and a lot with our chapters, especially Sustainable Marblehead. So this is and Mothers Out Front and the greater Boston area of physicians for social responsibility. So it's interesting that this is not only about stopping stopping a dirty peaker. It's really about the complement, which is cleaning the peak, which is about finding solutions that are healthy, finding solutions that are in compliance with the climate law.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think what is really interesting is that, you know, the PBD peaker sits in this broader landscape of other kinds of peaker resources, other kinds of what are called capacity resources that are all intended to make sure that the lights stay on really hot days when everyone is cranking their air conditioning, or on really cold days when everyone's cranking their heat at night. So the concept of grid reliability and the concept of risk, these two concepts are really important in this conversation. And going forward, really, if for folks that want to be involved in MWIC's conversations, you know, that process, I don't know what that process is yet. I don't think MWIC knows what that process is yet. So really emphasizing that the future is now for clean energy. The future is now for moving away from a real centralized kind of infrastructure and thinking, as you were highlighting, Ted, a much more decentralized, distributed forms of infrastructure that are smaller in scale and that are actually involving the customers, the ratepayers. You know, so
I got to drag in one other sort of extraneous thing, because that's what I do. But I mean, we're following this whole thing about the Colonial Pipeline, right, which got hacked. Right? Yeah. But if you can imagine that each community has its own smart, well-protected, distributed thing. It's harder. Each community has its own sort of battery supply, that it's harder for the bad guys to get in and hack the entire system, right? And so there's virtues of this effort that go well beyond the specifics of Peabody, right? We're setting precedents for how Massachusetts thinks about this big issue, which is going to be ongoing for a while. And that's why it's an important thing to discuss. So Colonial Pipeline is an aside, you know, hacker security, but it's just that there are many ways these topics connect.
Absolutely. And so for those of you listening, if you live in Boylston, Chicopee, still, Holden, Holyoke, still, Hull, Mansfield, Marblehead, Peabody, obviously, Shrewsbury, South Hadley, Sterling, Wakefield, West Boylston, or Russell. These are you. These are, like, you're the core group of stakeholders that MWIC needs to hear from.
Wow. And if any of people in those towns are confused and want to get in touch and learn more, would they get in touch with you?
Absolutely.
And how can they do that?
You can find me on the interwebs, or you can email me directly. My first name, S-A-R-A-H, Sarah, at massclimateaction.net.
And the massclimateaction.org website has an FAQ. It has updates. It has things that you can poke around and learn more. Is there anything else, Sarah, before I talk about where people can, you know, find the information?
Well, I do want to say that this Clean the Peak campaign has two parts to it. So there's the legal part that I've been talking a lot about today, involving the DPU process and now involving MWIC in terms of a stakeholder engagement process. And MCAN has been leading on that campaign. And it's expensive. It's really expensive. And we have a great pool of really generous donors. You know, we've had great donations from the North Shore, people in the North Shore, MCAN board members and physicians. So we have raised over $27,000, almost $28,000. We need to raise another $25,000 to $30,000 to meet our legal bill. So if folks are so inclined to support this work, Ted will drop in a donation link to the show's notes. And you can go to our website under the donation tab, the Peabody Legal Fund, and you'll see it right there. And there are many ways to donate to MCAN. You can do a one-time donation, you can set up to do a monthly donation, or if you are interested in donating any kind of stock, we are able to do that as well. That's all set up now. So that's the legal campaign. Then there is the sort of the Peabody community work that Community Action Works has really been taking the lead on. And there's
which
a lot
is a
of
partner to yes. that you have established, Community Action Work. That's a there's a website for that, right?
Yes, we'll there add. Is. And so Community Action Works has been supporting the formation of a local group. And their name, I believe, is Breathe Clean North Shore, because they recognize that this is more than it is about PBD, and it's about these other communities, because air quality doesn't necessarily know municipal boundaries.
Right.
So that's the PBD effort. And then I do want to emphasize for folks listening on this call that the short vision of success is that the dirty option for this peaker is killed, and that there is a clean energy alternative that is developed, assessed, and if needed, moves forward. So that's the short-term vision of success. The long game for MCAN is that we are really interested in lowering the standards for intervener status. as part of the ZPU process.
Right. This goes all the way back to the original thing where MCAN wanted to be an intervener and got told you're not important enough. What we're trying to do is change the rules so that more people, in fact, individuals can gain that status and have a say in these important decisions early on.
Exactly. What if the PBD residents got together, went into DPU and said, no, we challenge this. They legally cannot do that right now.
Right. Right.
The standards of meeting intervener status are so high. And in fact, only one organization in Massachusetts has been granted intervener status, and that is the Conservation Law Foundation. Really? And they did not have the bandwidth to take up this project at this point in time. Okay. So that is our long-term vision of success, that we can actually change the law and allow what our neighbors to the north are able to do. New Hampshire, individual ratepayers can challenge their utilities in their DPU equivalent court.
And that's important because, I mean, the PBD peaker plant is an example. It's one case, but it is not the only case. There are going to be more attempts to build these old dinosaur things that need to be challenged. And we can see over the next decade that's going to keep happening. So we need to make it easier to oppose them, right?
Yes. You know, and there's some, you know, MWIC and some of the light boards that are still committed to this contract. The way they talk about the PBD peaker is really interesting. They say this new peaker is not as polluting as our existing peakers. So it's kind of like saying, I think, oh, it's so good. This, you have a stage one cancer diagnosis. That's great. And all these other patients, they've got stage four. Right. And you want to be like them. Okay, and so it's this very perverse logic that, you know, the time is now to really think much more creatively, to center health, to center an understanding of grid reliability, as we've been talking about, in a new way that involves, that is much more small-scaled approach to its design, to its distribution, and to its generation.
Well, we will be busy, I think, over the next few years, won't we?
We will.
All right. Well, what I will do is lots of good links there. I will put those links into the show notes associated with this on the MCAN blog. That will be at massclimateaction.org/blog, where you can listen to the show and click through on these links. If you have questions about the show, right? If you have new ideas of things we ought to be talking about, send an email to podcast@massclimateaction.net. We'd love to hear what you would like us to talk about. You can listen to the show on your smartphone using Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, all the modern podcast distribution apps. Please ask your friends, your uncles, your nephews, everyone to listen to us on their favorite podcast distribution app, because it's your Climate Action for the Week to spread the word. I want to thank our good friend D.R. Tucker for his continuing research support. We want to close where we always close, by saying that we recognize the necessity of personal accountability, that we accept responsibility for building a durable future, and that we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out. And because of that, we have to insist that the United States transform its energy sector over the next decade under a just and equitable plan that uses regulation, investment, and a price on carbon to safeguard our future. So, Sarah, thank you so much for bringing us up to date on these important issues.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be here. I love being on this podcast, and I really hope that folks, you know, consider yourself a stakeholder.
There you go. So out there in stakeholder land, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Very cool.